Sarananda, Jaya, Raja Janaranjana. Yasaranandana Jaya Vajajanarandana Yamunachira Vanachari Jaya Sanjabihari Jaya Sanjadi Hari Yamuna Chira Vanachari Jaya Sanjadi Hari Daya Sanjadi Hari Daya Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Dare Dharada, Samachanda, Radha, Samachanda, Radha. Padupa, 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 Padupa.
Jaya Vishnu Pad Paramahans Purushacharya Sud Vishnu's Divine Grace Abhay Sharma Arvind Bhaktivedanta Swami. All glories to some devotees. Thank you. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 83, text number 15 and 16. Sri Bhadra Vacha Pita Me Matule Yaya Sayamahuya Tatavan Krishna Krishnaya Tachitam Akshahinya Sakhi Janai Asya Me Parasam Sparsho Pavej Janmani Janmani Kamabir Brahmyamanaya Yena Taj Shreya Atmanaha Sri Bhadravacha Pita me matulayaya. Swayam ahuya dattavan. Krishne Krishnaya tachchitam. Okshahinya sakhi janai. Asya me parasam sparsho. Bhavej janmani janmani. Kamabir brahmyamanaya. Yena tachchaya atmanaha. Messages, ladies. Shri Bhadra Vacha. Shri Bhadra said, Pita, Father, me, my, Matulayaya, to my maternal cousin, Swayam, of his own accord, Ahuya, inviting, Tatavan, gave, Krishna, O Krishna, Draupadi, Krishnaya, to Lord Krishna, Tat, absorbed in whom? Chitam, whose heart? Akshahinya, with an Akshahini military guard. Sakhi Janai, with my female companions. Asya, his. May for me, Pada of the feet, Sangsparsha, the touch, Bhavet, may it be. Janmani, Janmani, in one life after another, Karma be due to the reactions of material activities, Brahmyamanaya. Who will be wondering Yena, by which, tat, that, Shreya, ultimate perfection, Atmana, of myself. Translation. Sri Bhadra said, my dear Draupadi, of his own free will, my father invited his nephew, Krishna, to whom I had already dedicated my heart, and offered me to him as his bride. My father presented me to the Lord with an Akshahini military guard and a retinue of my female companions. My ultimate perfection is this, to always be allowed to touch Lord Krishna's lotus feet as I wander from life to life, bound by my karma. Please repeat. Sri Bhadra said, my dear Draupadi, of his own free will, my father invited his nephew Krishna, to whom I had already dedicated my heart, and offered me to him as his bride. My father presented me to the Lord with an Akshahini military guard and a retinue of my female companions. My ultimate perfection is this, to always be allowed to touch Lord Krishna's lotus feet as I wander from life to life, bound by my karma. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. With the word Atmana, Queen Bhadra speaks not only for herself, but for all living entities as well. The soul's perfection, Shreya Atmana, is devotional service to Lord Krishna, both in this world and beyond in liberation. Srila Jiva Goswami comments that although in civilized society, it is normally considered disrespectful to publicly speak the name of one's guru or husband, Lord Krishna's name is unique. The mere utterance of the name Krishna is commendable as the highest expression of reverence for God. As the Svetashvara Upanishad 4.19 states, Yasya Nama Mahad Yasha, the holy name of the Lord is supremely glorious. Can I get some water? Drink of water. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjanam Shalakaya Chakshuramalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and my spiritual master forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet. So this is one of Krishna's wives explaining how she became Krishna's queen. And so this is a very beautiful part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course, all these queens are actually expansions of the gopis in Braj. And so Krishna created Dwarka because he was afraid that the inhabitants of Vrindavan would be harassed by Jarasand. So one day out of his mind he created Dwarka, and the residents of Vrindavan, they went to sleep, and then when they woke up they were in Dwarka, as far as I understand. So within Dwarka there was a place called Nava Vrindavan, and that was a replica of Vrindavan created by Vishvakarma. But it didn't have all the aspects that Braj has, but it was still extremely inconceivably beautiful. And Krishna had his pastimes there with Satyabhama, who was an expansion of Radharani, but she didn't have all the full aspects that Radharani had. But the verse is really talking about Krishna's lotus feet and how important Krishna's lotus feet are, and how aspiring for touching Lord Krishna's lotus feet is actually the perfection of life. This is the, thank you very much. This is the aspiration of the devotees to aspire to touch Krishna's lotus feet. Because Krishna's lotus feet, they give all shelter and protection from this traumatic experience of living in the material world. So there are many places where Krishna's lotus feet are glorified. It's one verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto, Bhagavat Urukri Vikramangusaka Nakamani Chandra Narasatape Hridikatam Upasidam Upasidatam Puna Sa. What's the rest of it? Prabha. Anyway, the verse means, how can the fire of material suffering continue to burn the hearts of those who have taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet? The Lord's lotus feet are very beautiful, and the nails on the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord are like brilliant gems that dissipate, or they are like brilliant gems that are like the cooling moonshine after the scorching heat of the summer sun. Something like that. So Krishna's lotus feet, to get shelter and the cooling shade of Krishna's lotus feet, that is the perfection of life. So we're all trying to do that. And of course, Krishna himself, he says in the 11th canto that he's chasing after the dust of the lotus feet of his devotees. Because the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees actually purifies the world. So even Krishna, he's aspiring to get the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees. So this is also the only way we can get the dust from Krishna's lotus feet, is to first aspire to get the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees. In Jad Bharat, he was preaching to King Rahugana, and he said, Rahugana tat tapasaniya sa no chaja neva bahad grant. How's it good? The Chandasa Chalagnas, anyway, Vinama Hatpada Rajoba Shekham. Anyway, famous verse. He says, my dear King Rahugana, that one can perform one's duties as a householder perfectly, one can actually perform austerities like surrounding oneself by fire in the scorching heat of the summer sun. One can submerge oneself in the freezing cold waters in the Himalayas. But these will not necessarily help you. Because the only thing that will help you is to smear the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord's devotees on your body. So this is really what we are trying to do. We're trying to actually get Srila Prabhupada's, the dust from his lotus feet, or any of his devotees. Any devotee who is sincerely, even Srila Prabhupada, he said one time, he was talking about devotees who go to open preaching centers. He said that I take the dust of the lotus feet, or the feet of the devotees who go to open preaching centers. So this is actually how to get the dust of the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, that by going on a limb and trying to spread Krishna consciousness, this is how we get Krishna's mercy, this is how we get Krishna's dust, or the dust from Srila Prabhupada's feet. So this is the only way. Actually, Srila Prabhupada was very pleased with the Sankirtan devotees. He wrote a letter to the Sankirtan devotees. This is for the brahmacharis here, especially because they're performing many austerities, going out, distributing books, living in a van. So this was a letter he wrote in the UK when book distribution was beginning to take off in England. It was probably in about 1973-74. And he said, I was always, he wrote, I'm always thinking of you devotees. You're living in a van and you're performing great austerities to spread Krishna consciousness. And I'm sure that Lord Chaitanya is very pleased with you. So this is actually how we get Krishna's mercy, Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And this is really the only way that we can make advancement in this day and age is to preach Krishna consciousness. This is how we get the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya said, I order every man in the universe to preach. So this is the best way to get the dust. Of course, there are other ways, just by being a humble servant of the devotees in any capacity ensures it will get the dust of the lotus feet. So when Raghunath Das Goswami, he was trying to escape from his home, he went to see Lord Nityananda, and Lord Nityananda placed his feet on his head, and he got Lord Nityananda's mercy. And then he was told that actually just by the aroma of the from the feet of Lord Krishna, one has absolutely no desire for the position of Lord Indra or any of the demigods, that one is completely satisfied. So this is really, you know, one who understands how to be humble. This is the crucial qualification that we're aspiring to become just a particle of dust at the Lord's lotus feet. This is, or even at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Even when Prabhupada was present, he had so many disciples, and they were all vying for his glance of mercy. There was one devotee, you'll know who it is, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. At that time, he was called Ghanashyam, and he was performing great austerities in Eastern Europe. He's a black man, black body, going to a place where there were no black people. So he sticks out like a sore thumb, so to speak. But he is going and taking great risks, actually, in a communist country at that time, to put God-conscious, Krishna-conscious literature in the libraries there in Eastern Europe, which is very difficult, behind the Iron Curtain. But he wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada, and he said that, you know, I'm completely dependent on you. I have no other shelter, and my only desire is to please you. And so when Srila Prabhupada came to England, that was in 1977 in the summer. You probably know why he was on his way to America. He was on his way to America to establish Varnashram, or one aspect of Varnashram, because Varnashram is multifaceted. But one aspect was to establish Gita Nagari as a self-sufficient community to show how important cows are. So cow protection is very important, and Srila Prabhupada was very keen to establish that. Sometimes, you know, we might think it's more important to speak on the holy name, but actually speaking about cows and cow protection, just like Krishna himself, he doesn't wear any shoes on his feet. And Mother Yashoda is very concerned about him because she's afraid that the cows will step on his feet or that his feet will get cut by the thorns or by the stones in the forest. But he says, no, I'm not going to wear any shoes. The cows don't wear any shoes. Why should I wear shoes? So he is so concerned about the cows and about, you know, the protection of the cows. So this is a very important aspect of our philosophy. Of course, this verse isn't specifically about cow protection. But, you know, it's something we need to hear about. My Shiksha Guru is Shiva Ramaswamy. If you ever read his books, he's an amazing writer. He's an amazing personality. He's not just a scholar. It's great to be a scholar. But at the same time, we have to do something practical. So he is not only a scholar, he's written some amazing books which are very, very heart-rending and touching and very informative. Of course, he wouldn't want you to read his books unless you read all of Srila Prabhupada's books. But, you know, he's not only a great scholar, but he's established this amazing community. And he has this wonderful Goshal, which is, you know, the building, even the Goshal, it's an amazingly beautiful building. I would say that any devotee who wants to see one of the best projects in ISKCON, it should go there and see this new Braja Dham. Of course, he was Shiva Ramaswamy. He was in the Govardhan Eco Village. Recently, he had a tour with Radhana Swami. And he's saying, I didn't want to come because I knew I'd be envious. Because in India, you know, you can build beautiful buildings for a fraction of the cost, and they have the craftsmanship to do that. And so this Govardhan Eco Village apparently is a really amazing place, and they have all the seven temples, replicas of Vrindavan. And on top of that, they have dust, sand. Now, the sand is not real sand, because you can't get sand in India. It's impossible to buy it. It's very tightly controlled because they use it for so many other things. But they ground up sandstone to make the sand there. But Shiva Ramaraj was saying that you need to get some thorns from Vrindavan to make a real replica. So, anyway, so Krishna's lotus feet, yeah. He is chasing after the devotees, trying to get the dust from their lotus feet. And so we're all trying to get the dust from the devotees' lotus feet. And so the best way to do that is to serve the devotees. That's the only way we can get their mercy. Getting the dust from the lotus feet means to get the mercy. And one person who did get the mercy was Kaliya Krishna. Kaliya Krishna was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, and so he actually was very, very humble, because he would feed Vaishnavas, even if they were from low caste. There was one devotee called Jad Thakur, and he went to his home, and he wanted to offer him some mangoes and take his remnants, and Jad Thakur was completely against the idea. And they had a conversation, and Jad Thakur was complaining that you're from a Brahmin family, I'm from a Sudra family, you can't take my remnants. And then Kaliya Krishna Das, he was quoting a verse, Aho Bhata Swapacho Dokaryan Jajiva Grivatate Namatavyam Te Pustapase Jahu Shashna Arya. So, oh how glorious are those born in the family of dog eaters, if they utter the holy name of the Lord. It's considered they've already performed many austerities, performed all kinds of sacrifices, bathed in all the holy rivers. Anyway, so they had this conversation, and then he gave him the mangoes, and then he hid in the bushes nearby, and he saw that the wife of Jad Thakur, she offered the food to Jad Thakur. Then she took the remnants, what he'd spat out. And that was one thing that we got from Srila Prabhupada, that when we were trying to get the maha from his plate, you know, when something came out like the oranges, because he would spit out the pith, he wouldn't eat all the orange, he would spit out the part that wasn't really. So then everyone was trying to get that. Of course, some of the devotees even drank Prabhupada's mucus, believe it or not. But they were so devoted to Maha Krishna Maharaj and others. So, because Prabhupada, it's like when Prabhupada passed away, there was one devotee, Bhagavat. Bhagavat Maharaj, he's not with this gone completely, but anyway, he's a great devotee. But he came back from Vrindavan, and he said that Prabhupada's urine smelt like roses. So we have to understand, you know, to get Prabhupada's mercy, like Prabhupada was trying to get his guru's mercy, he was completely dependent on his mercy. So this should be our goal, and to please, Prabhupada was very about seniority and how the one who joined ISKCON sooner was kind of in a more senior position, even if it was just a month or two before somebody else. And so Prabhupada tried to establish this Vedic culture. Like here, it's considered disrespectful to publicly speak the name of one's guru or husband. So this is something, you know, we would never dream about in Western culture. So Indian culture is so amazing, and the problem is that most Indian people, they don't really know the intricacies of their culture, but they are still, you know, they have a tendency for it. Just like last night, I met this very nice devotee. He came from Michigan. He lives upstate Michigan, very cold place. Very nice young doctor, and his wife's a doctor. And he said that he drives 2 hours every week. And he has a very busy schedule. He drives 2 hours every week to get the milk which is sent from Gita Nagari, because it's ahimsa milk. So this is Vedic culture. That in Vedic culture, you know, there's absolutely no kind of, it's all about respect. And even Indian people, they're very respectful. And a lot of times they respect people who may not even be worthy of respect, but out of etiquette. So, anyway, the etiquette here is something we're trying to introduce. Of course, we're trying to make this a worldwide movement. It's not just for Indian people. Srila Prabhupada specifically wanted Western people to take up Krishna consciousness. And so this should be our focus. We preach to everybody, not just to, like Deva Amrita Swami says, we're not trying to just pick the low-lying fruit, which is, you know, the Indian population, because they're much more amenable to Krishna consciousness. But we're trying to change the whole world. So it's more of an accomplishment in a way to convert a Muslim to Krishna consciousness. I had this one nice girl at the University of Florida. She's from Syria. She's a super nice girl. A lot of Syrians are actually very nice. So, you know, we're trying to change the whole world. Muslims, everybody. So, just like they converted the Indians to Hinduism, it's said that they were practically worse than Hitler the way they did it. But and nothing against Islam, but we're trying to convert them, just like Lord Chaitanya converted the Pathan Muslims. Pathan, it's an area in Balochistan, I believe. Balochistan is a part of Pakistan, which used to be a part of India. I went there back in 1968 on my way to India. And you go through the Khyber Pass. The Khyber Pass is a mountainous area between Afghanistan and Pakistan. So, anyway, these are just a few thoughts. But I was going to read out a very nice description of Krishna's lotus feet from the Govinda Lilamrita, which is very beautiful. I'll just read it quickly. Simply by meditating on Krishna's lotus feet, one attains all spiritual and material fortune, beauty, good qualities, and wealth, and they are an abode of pastimes. May they be our everything. Even a slight worship of Sri Krishna's feet turns a mere stone into a chintamani, a mere cow into a kamadhenu, and a mere tree into a desire tree. They fulfill all desires of a living being. Who will not take shelter of these lotus feet? Giridhara's lotus feet always gladden the tongues of the bee, like devotees, with their fragrance that pervades the whole world. Which man of taste could give out these feet? I praise Krishna's lotus feet that are filled with the honey of elegance. Beautiful poetry. The toes are the petals and the nails are the walls of these lotuses that pervade all directions with their fragrance, which is drunk by the gopis, bee-like eyes. These feet are like red lotus sprouts that please all the five senses with their great qualities and that are generous like the leaves of a desire tree. With what can we compare Hari's lotus feet? Krishna's toenails are as white as the Ganga at Prayag. The top sides of these feet are as black as the Jamuna, and the soles are red like Brahma's daughter Saraswati. In this way, Krishna's lotus feet are completely beautiful and fulfill all desires like a bath in the Triveni. The glories of Krishna's feet are wonderful. The darkness that takes shelter of these feet defeats Aruna, the sun's charioteer, in battle. So Aruna, the red deity of sunrise, takes shelter of Krishna's foot soles that are just as red. Seeing the darkness of these feet, the moon flees in fear and takes shelter of Krishna's splendid nails. It's amazing poetry. The hot crimson rays of the sun have scorched Aruna, who took shelter of the cool shade of Krishna's feet. That's why Krishna's foot soles are pervaded with their reddish luster. This is an example of the poets, but I think that the strong passion of Radhika's heart has colored his lotus feet red, making them her abode. When Krishna's lotus feet are fondled by the lotus hands of the two of the lotus-eyed gopis, they resemble blue lotus flowers. When they stand on the gopis' golden pitcher-like breast, they resemble red ashok leaves. And when they stand in the gopis' lake-like hearts, they shine like red lotuses. Krishna's lotus feet are more cool, beautiful, fragrant than the moon, the blue lotus, sandalwood paste, camphor, or lotus stems. And they are... Anyway, I'll finish there. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Any comments or questions? Yes.
All right. Established Varnashram Dharma.
Yeah.
But in England, you were about to say when Prabhupada went to England, did Ghanisham come there? Or
oh.
You were.
Yeah, Prabhupada was on his way to the on his way to America. Oh yeah, and he. Sorry, I missed out the main point. Ghanisham went to see Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada was very pleased with him, and he really gave him a lot of mercy, you know, touched his head, and he was very pleased with him. So Prabhupada stayed a about 2 weeks, in the 10 days or something in the UK. It was a very beautiful time. Prabhupada simply, he didn't give class or anything. He just sat on the Vyasasan. He had dark glasses on, and he didn't speak or anything. He just sat there. And the devotees were chanting and dancing for about an hour. Instead of the class, we just had kirtan. So Prabhupada never made it to America, but that was his plan. He had to go back to India. Huh? What's that? Yeah, he was very weak. Kali Pani Prabhu.
In praise of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, in the late 70s, I was in Jagannath Puri with a group of devotees.
I was there too.
Maybe maybe we were together.
That's when he chastised Vamsi Varna for taking Mahara and not giving it to everybody.
Quite possible. And we were having a there was a bandstand on the beach, and we were gathering there every morning to have a class. And Ghanishyam Das Brahmachari, later Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, would come and join us. He wasn't with us, but he would come and give a class in that bandstand. And one day he didn't come. No one knew why. And then the next day he came and reported that he just gained entrance to the Jagannath temple. Mm-hmm. And the head priest had taken him right up to the deities. He told them that he was born in India or something, and then his parents took him to the West. The head pujari took his head and showed him that this is what you do with the deities. You bow down. He took his head, bowed it down to the road, touched the lotus feet of the Lord. So I just wanted to report that. Also, I wanted to make probably most people envious by reporting that one time an orange peel that had been eaten by Srila Prabhupada came out of his room, and I was in the right place at the right time to get that and honor the Mahaprasad.
Yeah. Anyone else? Yes, Prabhu. What's your name? Rajaraj. Hare Krishna.
If I heard right, you made a statement comparing the holy name and cows to value. If I heard right, you made a statement comparing the value of the holy name and cows. Could you elaborate some, please?
I didn't exactly compare the value of them. I mean, the cows are very dear to Krishna. So the, you know, Krishna's paraphernalia, or they're very important for devotees. And Shiva Maharaj says, you know, I quote him because I believe he's up, you know, very good vision he's got. He says that it's the duty of everybody in ISKCON to support cow protection, because it's our philosophy. And if we support commercial dairies, this is very bad, that somehow or other one of the austerities that we should perform is to everybody support cow protection, because it's all in our books. You know, it's everywhere in our books. You cannot have Brahminical culture without cow protection. This is a fact. So, you know, the holy name is a totally different topic. But I was just saying that some people, you know, they don't preach so much about cow protection, but rather the holy name. But all these things are extremely important, because they're all aspects of Vedic culture. And you can't just have one aspect of Vedic culture, because Vedic culture covers every aspect of life in the material world. So you have to have every aspect there. Right? So like some people may say, well, Varnashram is not relevant. We've gone beyond Varnashram, or it's not possible in the Kali Yuga. But when Prabhupada was on his deathbed, he was talking about Varnashram. When someone's on their deathbed talking about something, you've got to know it's pretty important, right? Whether we can do it or not, that's another story. But to just blow it off and say it's not really important, it's not relevant, or it's not possible. So Shiva Ramaraj is, you know, he's really determined to try and establish Varnashram. And Varnashram is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the seventh canto, and describes, you know, that Varnashram begins with people, everybody, developing specific qualities. There are 30 qualities that human beings are supposed to develop. So that's where it begins. But beyond that, those qualities are hard to develop when we're living in a very Ugra Karma society. We're living in a society, a soul-killing civilization. That's what Prabhupada called it. It's a soul-killing civilization. So Prabhupada really wanted to bring devotees to the mode of goodness, because a lot of devotees, you know, we get compromised because we have to work and we have to make money, and, you know, life's a real challenge in the Kali Yuga. And anyway, it's a long story, but it's just something. It's a part of Varnashram, cow protection and farmers and all that, right? The holy name, of course, is the most important thing, but you can't say that it's more important than cow protection because Krishna was a coward boy. It's just different. Yes, Trivik Ramprabhu. So we have to strain our brains, you know, how to do all these things. It's not so easy.
I would tell the Christians that the cows are God's pet. Just like the dogs are man's pet,
yeah.
The cows are God's pet. And so, just like you don't want somebody to kill your dog and eat it, you should not kill the cow and eat it. Because God wouldn't like that. See? And they become amazed. They wonder. And some of them would say, oh, yeah, it's good. But it's a good line to use, you see. The cow is God's pet.
Yeah.
So you don't want to kill it.
Jai Masami Prabhu. You'll have to forgive me, because I often talk about cow protection, because I think it's very important, but I am a bit abrasive about it. I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Oh, thank you.
It's important. And I just wanted to give a little plug to your service of cow protection, and that I get ahimsa milk from Aditya Tukabu.
I don't have much of it, so
you don't have much, unfortunately.
And I'm not a farmer. I don't even do it for the money. It's really not why I do it. I do it because I believe in it.
You had told me at one point you had difficulty marketing.
Intellectual, we did at one point. It's better now.
Okay. Anyway, we're getting a lot of milk from you every week.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't have to drive 2 hours either.
Right, yeah, you're lucky. And you get Jersey cow milk too.
That's A2, right?
That's type B. Type B is better than type A. There's two types. I mean, ideally, you know, we should all live in a community where we had cows, you know, lots of cows to feed everybody. And the people that looked after the cows were given a lot of respect, because it's not so easy to look after cows, because you kind of have to be in the mode of goodness. I mean, like Shiva Ramaraj said, it's a lot easier to find someone to go out and sell books, excuse me, than it is to find someone to take care of cows. I mean, doing books is, you know, the most important thing, but to find somebody to actually do cow protection is more difficult. So, but ideally, if we had, and this is what Prabhupada really wanted, was that in the cities we have restaurants with reading rooms, and that the restaurants were actually supplied milk products and foodstuffs by the farms. So the devotees, the trouble is, you know, it's hard to find, and me included, you know, I'm from London, I've lived in a city most of my life. It's hard to find devotees who want to live simply and grow food. All our food is grown by, you know, people, Mexican people, or South Americans or whatever. It's difficult to find people. But it's something that's really important, and that it's something that we should know about. You know, being a devotee, if we want to make progress, we have to understand what Prabhupada wanted. You know, it's great to come to the Sunday program and chant and dance and all that. Great. And take prasadam, you know. But there's a lot more to it. If we're thoughtful, you know, we have to figure out what did Prabhupada want. Prabhupada wanted us to show an example to human society of how people are supposed to live. You know, we sell the books, and books talk about cow protection. But, you know, what do we got to show for you? We've got one cow here. That's great. I mean, it's a lot better than nothing. But, you know, everybody should be drinking milk from protected cows, ideally. And, you know, we have to think of all these things. That is our duty as disciples of Prabhupada. And that's why I really appreciate Shiva Ramai so much, because he's actually doing it. And he's a scholar. He's a great scholar. I mean, his books are just incredible. Anyway, Hare Krishna. Forgive me if I've said anything wrong. Frani Govinda, you got something?
I was listening one. Pushkar Prabhu is here. He knows some devotee gathered together to blow up all the slaughterhouse. You know, the past times, and Prabhupada heard it, and Prabhupada said, "No, we can't do that."
Yeah.
They were ready, really, with the bombs.
Yeah.
Prabhupada said, "We have to convince them that this is bad."
Well, the best thing, that's not going to, so we need to drink milk. I'm, you know, Prabhupada drank milk himself, so it's not that we shouldn't drink any milk. And I don't believe in veganism at all. But, you know, really, we need to figure it out. Yes, Prabhu.
Chakra Shantamu,
that you got a thorn to your foot. It's like the Shankar Shantamu. He said that so when you get a thorn in your foot, you have to take another thorn to get the thorn that you got in your foot out. So we drink.
That's Prabhupada's example.
Oh, it's his example? Okay, I never heard it from him. Okay.
So, sorry.
So he got it from Prabhupada.
Yeah.
So
it's all coming from Prabhupada.
Yeah.
There was one verse I wanted to read out, actually, which is a beautiful verse, just a final note. The Blessed Lord Shiva becomes, this is Lord Kapila Dev in the third canto, the Blessed Lord Shiva becomes all the more blessed by bearing on his head the holy water of the Ganges, which has as its source in the water that washed the Lord's lotus feet. The Lord's feet act as thunderbolts hurled to shatter the mountain of sins stored in the mind of the meditating devotee. One should therefore meditate on the Lord's lotus feet for a long time. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about how he knew a doctor in Bengal who, when he got sick, he would only drink the water from the Ganga, because he knew, because the Ganga water comes from the lotus feet of the Lord, he would get well. So even though the Ganga is full of all kind of objectionable things, but still the water is pure and he would drink it. He wouldn't go to see a doctor. I never go to see a doctor. So we have to have faith in the Charanamrita, in the Ganga Jal, and get some good old raw milk. Hare Krishna.